It's 88.5 KCSN, and we're really excited to welcome back who's someone we consider to be a real friend of the station, Grace Potter. Welcome, Grace.
Hey, it's so good to be back.
It's a tremendous story that bears repeating. Grace, like many of you, our listeners, discovered the station on her own when you were recording The Lion, the Beast, and the Beat.
Yep.
You were traveling from Laurel Canyon out to Valencia, was it, or Santa Clarita?
You really have the story down, because, I mean, I told it last time I was here, but we would have to take that morning drive every day to get to Valencia, where we were making The Lion, the Beast, the Beat. And, yeah, we would tune in every morning, and the band would have, like, a full band listen, you know, unless I was in the car by myself, which happened a lot because I was usually very late.
Tardy
Potter.
Well, you needed your beauty sleep.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's what I was doing. That's why I was late. I don't really sleep much. Yeah. It doesn't really happen.
And that probably segues nicely into my next question, because since we last saw each other, the touring you've done has been just incredible. Big shows.
Yeah.
You went out, did stadiums with Kenny Chesney.
Yeah.
You've played with the Stones, Neil Young, Robert Plant.
It's been a great few years.
Your own festival, you know, the Grand Point North Festival, a lot of festivals. When you go out and suddenly you're playing with heroes like that in stadiums, was it daunting?
It's not. You know, I'm a very audacious person. I think that for me, the only thing daunting about it would be not doing it. That's the scariest thought I could have, is that that this whole thing has just been a dream, and I'm going to wake up and be like, ha-ha, just kidding, you didn't do any of that stuff. I mean, it's very surreal that it happened, but those are the milestone moments that are so fulfilling, that remind you that you're on the right track. You know? And I don't have the ego of many musicians who don't like talking about who they've opened for, who they've collaborated with or played with. I've talked to a lot of people who are like, yeah, we played a show at a stadium. I'm like, you didn't play a show at a stadium. You opened for someone who had a show at a stadium.
Right.
And I actually believe that every step of the way is a part of the process. We are all learning and growing, and paying your dues is something that so many bands don't actually get a chance to do nowadays. And I luckily have, and I've climbed the ranks and worked really hard for where we've gotten to, and so to be able to play those shows, it's not lost on me when I'm up there in front of 65,000 people. It really sinks in.
You not to run. They told us we're sorry, you're not the chosen ones. They told me to keep it quiet.
Learning,
yes.
Because when you are playing, you know, and you get afterwards to watch a Neil Young or a Mick Jagger or a Kenny Chesney
the
or
masters.
Robert Plant,
yes,
you really can learn things about a performance, life on the road, everything under the sun.
So much, and you really, I mean, these guys are giving me the best lessons I could learn. Just being backstage and watching how their crew operates, as something as simple as that, watching Mick Jagger's wardrobe team.
Oh, I'm sure that was big with you.
It's just insane. Yeah, of course, because, you know, I love fashion. So it's like, wow, that's how they keep that thing from falling off. You know, and it's amazing to me because a lot of artists I've admire, they actually don't tour as much as you'd think. You
right.
know, so when they do get out on the road, there's a few weeks of getting their sea legs under them. Whereas with Neil, for example, Kenny is another good example, and Robert Plant, obviously, who's just, we had an amazing time together. Those guys really do churn it out. They don't just rest on their laurels and say, we're done. And that's the kind of artist I've always aimed to be, is somebody who is never done learning, never done exploring, never done accepting things as just like, okay, cool, we've reached that point, I'm happy. You know, I think that's the climb. It's
well,
the fun part, you know?
You know what? I know you've done interviews. I've read your interview with My Morning Jacket. You're making this interview go very smoothly.
Oh, thank you.
Because now that part of growing and developing leads to the next question, which is on this record, Midnight, which comes out on Friday.
Oh, my God, Friday.
It's strange.
It's
that
so,
I'm not used to Friday yet instead of Tuesday, but
weird,
it's Friday.
It's weird, right? Man, I know. Three midnights from tonight.
They have an extra weekend, though.
That's right. That's right.
But you... You took stock, I guess, is one way of saying it. You said, you know what? What is Grace Potter going to sound like on record on this next record?
Yeah.
And you really evaluated. And my understanding is two of your strong influences have been both your dad and your mom.
Yes.
Your dad had the collection of records that led you to Led Zeppelin, The Stones, The Who.
Exactly.
And your mom had the collection that led you to Tina Turner and Blondie
totally.
And The Cars.
Yeah.
And in listening to that stuff and thinking,
yeah,
how do I get to the point of evolution? And Bowie, you referenced
Bowie. Bowie has been a big one for me. Prince, Madonna, Michael Jackson. You know, and the thing is like, I've never had a chance to express that side of myself with the Nocturnals, because it's just not the legacy that we've built,
right.
You know? And I think it was really hard for me to accept that. When I was making the record, I thought this was a Nocturnals record. And I was sure that it was all going to be fine and, you know, the guys were going to come to the studio and it was all going to sound like the Nocturnals. Well, they came in, they played, they lent their chops to it and did a great job, but it still did not sound like the Nocturnals. And I had to acknowledge, like, where and when does an artist go, I can't pull this one over on my fans. And I really felt strongly that by just slapping the Nocturnal name on this, I would be doing a disservice to myself as the songwriter and also to the band and to the legacy we've built. I mean, I think it would dilute both things in some ways to try to just call an apple an orange.
You know how to make
you recorded with Eric Valentine, mm-hmm. and you've expressed that there was a point where you realized he was going to get you over some of your own inhibitions,
yeah.
And by inhibitions, I mean
hang-ups.
With the guys in the band, and can I really pursue this kind of song? And he said,
anything's
let's
possible.
Go.
He just knows how to make anything sound great. And I think, like, the fearlessness that we all applied to being in the studio was up, it was up front and center. I mean, we all, everybody in my life at that time was going through some kind of transition. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like the last year, there's just been so much shift, you know, politically, tectonically. I mean, there's just so many changes that have happened, not all for the better, really, but everyone that I knew in my life was sort of scrambling to make sense of life, make sense of things.
It's going too fast.
It is going so fast. And so I wanted that to reflect on the record in the spirit of fun, to make fun of the fact that things feel out of control, that the technology and that the world around us is spinning faster than ever, and that we can't even catch up with ourselves. Songs like Alive Tonight are a good expression of, like, you know,
that's a celebration,
sense of end of days, you know, paired with the best dance party ever, you know? And I think really at the heart of it, I just wanted to have fun. And Barefoot Studios, where we recorded, was an atmosphere of pure freedom, audacity, the ability to try anything once and maybe even twice, you know?
If it's nice, do it twice.
That's right. That's right. Why not?
All the songs, though, no matter what shape they take and what idiom that inspires you, Grace mm-hmm. Potter, Live Tonight's a great example. Live in concert, you went big today. In this session, you go big.
By myself in a studio, I'm just like, I got to do it. Go big or go home. That's what my friend just said to me today. She was like, you know, you are a go big or go home kind of person. And I think that's very true.
Your body didn't know it was time to let go. It took a while to realize that you would never want to be around without your feet on the ground. Then you crossed that razor sharp line. There's no soft edges I can find. There's no turning back tonight. You're just gone. And now I gotta let you go, so it won't hurt no more. If I could let you go, I wouldn't feel sick no let you go. doesn't hurt no more. I can let you go. No, I don't feel sick no more. And now I find with the passing time I'll be alright with only the memories that you gave to me. And I can let you go. I can let you go. I can let you go.
You're going to be playing both Thursday and Friday night at the Fonda, and we want to welcome, you know, our listeners, make sure they catch really what is an incredible concert experience those two nights. There are some tickets available for, I think, the second night, you know, but you can go online and find out. It's Friday in store or online. We have to make that distinction. The new album, Midnight, is being released, and we are going to encourage all our fans to grab a hold of that and see where Grace has taken her music. And I can vouch, having heard it, that every bit of passion that you expect from Grace is in this record and more. And then you're going to do Conan on Monday, right?
That's right. We are doing Conan on Monday.
Set your DVRs, or if you're still able to stay up late enough to see Conan live, mm-hmm. you'll catch Grace Potter. And next time around, you know, you always got a place here, kiddo.
I love it here. I can't wait to come back. And meanwhile, thank you for the amazing tea. It was delicious.
You got it. All that and more. It's Grace Potter live on 88.5 KCSN.